Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Mem Beis. We're Mem Alpha Mud Beis. We are just about halfway down on the Amud. Let's regroup. Let's gather. Let's go back to the Mishnah Mem Alpha Mud Aleph and figure out what we are discussing. The Mishnah about in the bottom of Mem Alpha Mud Aleph talked about the amount of time one needs to wait before doing either Yibum or Chalitza. It's a simple and straightforward issue that that we're discussing at this juncture in the Masechta. And it's a really simple question. How long do you have to wait before doing the mitzvah? Or if the surviving brother doesn't want to do Yibum, so he'll do Chalitza. At what point should he be doing Chalitza? The answer is really straightforward. The Mishnah says 3 months later. 3 months later is going to be his first opportunity to do so. He cannot do so at any earlier stage. So that is the first point of the Mishnah, which we're going to be discussing in more detail over the course of today's daf. The Mishnah then goes on to describe Chen Kol Shar Nashim. Then when it comes to other women, so what do you do when it comes to other women? So in other words, when the woman's going from one husband to another husband, so at what point does there need to be any kind of separation in order to establish paternity and to establish who the father is? So it's a machlokus in the Mishnah. Mishnah brings down no less than three opinions on this matter. There's the Tanakama. Tanakama's position is that 3 months, regardless of whether she's going from Erisin to Nisuin, she's going from Nisuin to Erisin, it don't matter. According to the Tanakama, you always have to wait 3 months. And then the Mishnah brought down the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, where if you're coming from Nisuin, you could do Erisin with your next husband within 3 months, with notable exception to the province of Yehuda. And then the sheet of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says that Kol Hanashim Yisarsu, that every woman could do Erisin, even if they're coming right off of Nisuin, with notable exception to the widow, because the widow needs an avails period, which we're going to be discussing at a later point in time. Anyway, so in the Mishnah that we learned, the Mem Alpha Men Aleph, by the way, today's daf is going to be considerably easier than the last couple of dapim, right? As noted already, a number of people came over to me, yesterday's daf Mem Aleph, certainly Amud Aleph, and daf Lamites, and daf Mem. So those were particularly challenging dapim. That's fine. And today's daf is going to present itself to be a little bit easier. So good news for today. Can relax a little bit today. I don't know if relax is the right word, but you understand. It's gonna go a little bit easier. Anyway, so the first point of the Mishnah that we learned yesterday on the bottom of Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph is that when it comes to the Yavama, so lo sachlos velo sisyabem until 3 months. So the Gemara says like this. I'm not going to do the Gemara inside. I'm just going to say it outside. But the Gemara basically said as follows. Look, I certainly understand you have to wait for Yibum. It makes all the sense in the world. Because by Yibum, if you don't wait 3 months, then what are you going to do? So you're going to enter into a state of confusion. Because let's say you marry 2 months later, and then you have a child 7 months later. So as we've been discussing already numerous times. So now you have no idea. Meaning, were you the father of that child? And if you were, so then there was a mitzvah of Yibum. And if you weren't the father of that child, meaning that child was a 9-month baby belonging to the late husband, so then there is no mitzvah of Yibam and you're pogea be'eshesach. And that's an erva. So the Gemara says that I understand. That makes all the sense in the world. However, what I don't understand is du chalitza. Meaning if, let's say, Yibam is, for whatever reason, Yibam has already been decided, you're not doing Yibam. Nobody's doing Yibam. And now you want to do Chalitza. So why do you have to wait 3 months? Do Yibam, I don't know, do Yibam, I'm sorry, I didn't mean Yibam. Do Chalitza, thank you. Do Chalitza a month later. Do Chalitza 2 months later. Whatever. Do Chalitza early. So the Gemara says, okay, well, this harkens us back to the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we saw earlier in the Masechta in terms of, and when I say earlier in the Masechta, really earlier in our Perek. Meaning it was the first discussion in the fourth Perek of the Masechta. Taking us back to Lamed Hamed Beis. So there, machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether or not chalitza with a pregnant yavama is in fact effective or ineffective. So, and that's a machlokas. And and Rav Yochanan says it's effective, meaning you shouldn't do it, but if you did, it's effective. And Reish Lakish says it's ineffective. So the Gemara says that it would seem to be that if in fact you're suggesting that the issue over here is we're worried about establishing who the father is, but that's only by Yibam, by Chalitza, what's the problem by doing it early? And if you're telling me that you can't do it early because it's ineffective, that's great if you're Reish Lakish, but what if you're not Reish Lakish? What if you're Rav Yochanan? So Rav Yochanan obviously doesn't believe it's ineffective. He believes it's effective. So then why not do it early? Okay, good. So that's the question. So yesterday, so the Gemara tried to give an answer yesterday, right? The difficult answer. The Gemara says, how about we give a fundamental answer? And we'll just pick it up from right at the halfway park, point on Mem Alpha Mid Beis. Ela Mishum de Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, it's because of Rabbi Yossi. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Mem Alpha Mid Beis, just short of halfway down on the Amud. So Maisa, Badam Echad, Shabalif Ne Rabbi Yossi, Amalei Ma'al Lachlos, Besoch Yimel. Can I do Chalitza within the first 3 months? Amalei Lotz Achlotz. So he said, no, don't do it. V'tachlotz Ma'abakach. He says, well, what's the big deal? So Kara Alav Mikrazer, Im Lo Yechpotz, Im Chafetz Yavam. Meaning there has to be that when you're doing Chalitza, there has to be an alternative choice. Meaning it's not that you're just doing Chalitza, meaning you're doing Chalitza, but you could have done Yibum. So Kol Ha'ola Le'Yibum, Ola Le'Chalitza V'chulei. And that means to say that when I'm doing Chalitza, I could have done Yibum. Since you could not have done Yibum within the first 3 months, as we already established, so therefore Chalitza at that point in time no longer serves as an option. So Meisa Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chinana. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, let's think about this for a moment. So you're telling me that every time you're doing Chalitza, there must be an option of Yibum? I don't believe that's true. The Gemara says, consider the following. Hasfekos chotzos v'lamis yabos. So when it comes to a safek, that's a very vague term. So when it comes to a safek, so you do chalitza, you don't do yibum. To which the Gemara asks the question, my sfekos. Now, we're saying a safek. What is a safek? So ilim a safek kedushin amai lamis yabos. So the Gemara says, well, safek kedushin, so do yibum. In other words, you don't know if she was mekadeshes to the first husband. So, okay, you could do yibum. Meaning, consider, what are the two possibilities? Either one, she was married to your late brother, which means that there's a mitzvah of yibum. Alternatively, she wasn't married to your late brother, and so what she becomes now is just simply an eligible woman, a widow, who is eligible to you. So, what's the problem over there? So the Gemara says, okay, so that's not the case of Suffolk. You know what the case of Suffolk is? Now, we all knew the answer, by the way, because at this point, we have already gone over cases of Sfeikos. So we're hearkening back to a sugi that we did earlier in the Masechta. And that is that you're a Mekadesh woman. You didn't know which one you were a Mekadesh. I know that sounds strange, but remember, Kedushin can be done through Shlichus. So it's possible, and albeit improbable, but it's possible. So you're Mekadesh one of two sisters. You don't know which one you were a Mekadesh. And now the person dies. And now what does the brother do? So we learned earlier in the Masechta. But we're saying this now as pshat in our Braisa. The pshat in the Braisa is v'katani chotzos. And what you have to do is you have to do chalitza. You can't do yibum. Now, why can't you do yibum? So we all know the answer, right? After the last couple of days, this is like easy. This is like so straightforward. You can't do yibum because, again, it's one of two sisters. You don't know which one. Each one of them now is possibly achuzukukaso. Okay, so yibum is off the table. So the only thing you can do is you can't do chalitza. Okay. So now, what did we just learn together? That you're doing chalitza in a place where you can't do yibum. So the Gemara says, now you told me that I can only do chalitza in a place where I can do yibum, right? That's what you told me. And meanwhile, it's simply not true. So the Gemara says, hachi hashtu. The Gemara says, okay, but what you have to do is you can't lump these cases together. They're not comparable. So So the Gemara says, look, in the case of Safek, where it's one of two sisters and you don't know which one it is. So here the problem is that it's your lack of knowledge. Meaning, if somebody would have told you, Eliyahu, for example, were to tell you, I know which one you are Mekadesh. Okay, so if you were given good information, so then each one of them is eligible for Chalitza. Not each one of them, sorry, I take that back. One of them, whichever one is the right one, will in fact be eligible for Chalitza and Yibum. It just happens to be right now, the only reason why you're only doing Chalitza and not Yibum is for a lack of knowledge. That's all. Ahacha im yavo aliyah v'yamer dahalo yavda iabra mi mashkach be v'yaminala. But over here, let's say Eliyahu were to come and Eliyahu said that she wasn't pregnant. Okay, so now if he were to say that, would we listen to her and would you do yibum to her? Meaning, even here, even if we were informed, even if we knew, still the halach is that you're not allowed to do yibum within the first 3 months. Even if Eliyahu told us that she wasn't in fact pregnant, you simply wouldn't be doing yibum at that point in time. So the cases are not comparable. In the case of the one of two sisters, it's a lack of yediyah, which if we would have the yediyah, we would in fact do yibum. Over here, there's no lack of yediyah that is going to hurt her, is going to help us. So the Gemara says, fine. So ha'ketan de la basi iaburehi. I'm sorry. Fine. So where do we stand right now? So at this juncture, we are in the Gemara, is that the Gemara is now providing an answer for why not do chalitza early, even if you are Rav Yochanan, even if you're of the position that a premature chalitza is in fact going to be effective. Nevertheless, the reason why you don't do chalitza at this juncture within the first 3 months of the death of the late brother is simply because there needs to be eligibility for Yibum, and there is no eligibility for Yibum, period. The Gemara says, Akatana delav bas iaburehi, vafilu hachitrichim lamtin gimochadashim. So the Gemara says, what about a katana? Now, a katana certainly is not pregnant, and meanwhile, there is a requirement to wait. This is just closure on the previous point. Meaning, even if, let's say, for example, the candidate for Yibum was a Ketana, which again, possible, Ketana can be married in Min HaTorah, meaning the father married her off, and yet there's still a requirement to wait 3 months. So, and we know she's not pregnant. So the point of the Gemara is that pregnancy is not going to be affecting the halacha of waiting 3 months. For Yibum, you must wait 3 months, period. And so since you can't do Yibum within 3 months, therefore chalitza cannot be done within 3 months. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Good. That's generally true. But for the halacha of Yibum, in other words, 3 months was an institution. It was an institution that was just simply, simply mandated that you have to wait 3 months. But you're right. In other words, there are going to be occasions where we know they're not going to be pregnant, and still there's a 3 month, requirement. That's pregnancy. Yes. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes Abrai Zivam Shlosha Chadashim Rishonim Nizonus Mishal Baal Mikan Ve'elach Enin Nizonus Lo Mishal Baal Ve'lo Mishal Yavam. Okay, now, support for the widow. So as far as support is for the widow is concerned, so what do we know? So we touched on this in the Mishnah, but here the Brisa really spells it out. And that is that for the Yavama, who is now a widow. So for the first 3 months, she's going to be supported from her husband, meaning the estate. The estate is going to be supporting her. And then Mikan Velech, from that point going forward, so she's not going to be supported from the estate, but rather from the Yavam, meaning there's an expectation that the Yavam now, 3 months later, is going to be doing something. Now, he'll either be doing Chalitza or he'll be doing Yibum, but her support now is coming from the Yavam. So, Amad Bidenu Barach. Now, 3 months later, let's say the Yavam does not want to take on this responsibility. So, not only that, Well, he's only going to be getting it if he does the mitzvah of Yibum.
So he's going to do it out of his own pocket for now?
Yes. Yeah. So, Yavam, so Michel Yavam, Ahmad Bidin, and now let's say they subpoena him. In other words, it's more than 3 months later, and he's not showing any interest in neither doing the mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza, or he's not supporting her. So, Ubarach, and so what does he do? And he runs away. In other words, he's trying to flee. So Nizonus Mishal Yavam. So with them, what Beis Din is going to do is that Beis Din is going to dip into his assets and take from his assets in order to support the woman. Okay, so we have basically a halacha in terms of the support for the widow. First 3 months, her support will continue from the estate, and from this point going forward, it will be going from the Yavam. Okay, now. What if, let's say, the Yavam happens to be a katan? Okay, which again, there is no dictating in terms of who is going to be surviving this brother, and it could be that there is a brother, there is a surviving brother. But let's say, for example, the surviving brother is 10 years of age, certainly possible. Now the halach is, as we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta, but it's pretty obvious, and that is that there's a zika, but he can't take care of it as of yet, as he's not an adult as of yet. So he can't be held responsible, certainly not for the mitzvah of Yibam, and certainly also not financially at this early stage of his life. So now, question becomes the following. So mi Yavam leislei, so mi balmai. So certainly to expect support coming from the Yavam, who's a katan, so that's not an expectation. How about this? Can the estate now, is the estate of the late husband required to still continue supporting her under these circumstances, meaning again, normal expectation is that the estate is only to support her for 3 months, and then the support is transferred over to the Avam. But in such a scenario where, understandably, it's not going to be transferred over to the Avam, so what is going to be the status regarding the original estate? So, my pligi ba, Rav Acha v'Ravina, chadamar isle v'chadamar dleisle. So it's a machlokas amaraim, whether or not the original state still is going to continue to support her. V'hilchus olesle mishamai kansua. And so the Gemara says, and admittedly, by the way, this is not going to sound terribly sympathetic, but the Gemara says that the original state only is going to support her for 3 months. Meaning under these circumstances, the requirement of support of the estate for the widow is only for 3 months because there's a transition in Yavam. In this particular case, there's not going to be a transition in Yavam because of the age of the Yavam. So the Gemara says that is going to be unfortunate, but unfortunate for her. Mishamayim kansua. So she received a kedas from Shamayim, meaning that Akash Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, put her in this particular position. So it's going to be a little bit trying, and it's going to be a little bit unfair to her. But the Gemara says, okay, but that's the those are the circumstances, and the halacha is that we view this as coming directly from Akash Baruch Hu. She can she collect her ksuva? So the problem is that the Yavam stands to inherit it.
No, but the thing is that if the Yavam is not going to do anything, then she has to collect
the ksuva. Right. I'm not clear. I'm not clear about that. Okay. I'm just not clear. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. But Ben is wondering why not collect her ksuva at this juncture? Meaning knowing that she's going to be basically not supported and you know. Okay, fine. All right, let's I don't know. Okay. Okay, after. Tana Rabbanan Yevama Shechatzu La'achim Esoch Shosha Tzrich Alamtim Gimel Chadashim. So if let's say what the brothers do, Chalitza to the Yevama, within 3 months, so she's got to wait. So, in other words, even if Chalitza was done prematurely, so she has to wait 3 months. So, La'achar Gimel Ein Tzrich Lamtin, Gimel Chadashim. So, and if done after 3 months, so then she no longer needs to wait. So, as we are on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Havei HaGimel Chadashim She'amar Mishas Misa Sabal. So and the Gemara says that in terms of determining what is 3 months, 3 months is from the death of her husband. And 3 months is not from Chalitza. In other words, simple. Meaning that there is a requirement to wait 3 months, but the 3 months is going to be marked by the death of her husband. So Maishnami Ged, so the Gemara says, now, how is this different than Ged? Derav Amar Mishas Nesinu Shmuel Amar Mishas Ksiva. So as it relates to Ged, so either the requirement to wait 3 months post-get, right? After every get is given, so the officiating rabbi who officiated over the get gives their very clear instructions, right? Unfortunately, been a number of them. So the instructions are very clear, and that is that you cannot go ahead and marry another man for the next 3 months. So the simple explanation is because of establishment of paternity. We want to know who the father is for reasons which we're going to articulate in later today's daf. So over here, we're just a little bit confused, meaning when it comes to the Yavama, so we're going 3 months post-Misa. When it comes to Get, so it's either going to be Mishas Nesina, either the giving of the Get, and according to Shmuel, Mishas Ksiva, or the writing of the Get. So Amar Rav Kavachomer, Isakaris Itarta, Isolav Lakol Shekain, and to which the Gemara says, look, before we get to the Gemara's answer, look at Rashi. Maishna miget derav amar mishas nesina va'afa gav de mishas ksiva lo nisyachirema. Meaning, from the time that the get is written, so at that point in time, so they are not miyachir one with another. The man and the woman, once the get is written, so that's it. They do not share any private area together. So the imkein havale get yashan. In fact, if they go ahead and seclude themselves one with another, that will invalidate the get. So that is what's called in halacha get yashan. So the Gemara says, so the question really begs according to the Shita of Rav. Because Rav says that despite the fact that we know they're not together after the writing of the get, nevertheless, the 3 months is only counted from the giving of the get. So now, let's take that and move it back to Yibam and Chalitza, or specifically Chalitza. Meaning Chalitza, so we're saying 3 months is from the death. Why don't we say it's 3 months from the actual issuing of the chalitza, if the two cases are to be viewed parallel? You know the answer. In other words, the Gemara's answer is going to be the two cases are not to be viewed parallel. So the Gemara says, and now let me read the Gemara. Gemara's answer inside. Amar Rava, Kavachomer Isser Kares Itarta Isser Lav Lakol Shekain. So Isser Kares Rashi LeYavam Itarta LaAcher Gimel Chadash Miyad, meaning that when it comes to the Yavama, so at this point in time, she is no longer subject to the Isser of Eishesach because she was released. So the Isser Lav Leshuk LeKol Shekain to Meters LaAcher Chalitza Miyad. So over here we're talking about a yavama l'shuk. A yavama l'shuk, that's a lav. That's not an isra of eshesach. So in other words, if eshesach is going to be resolved after 3 months, the lav of yavama l'shuk certainly should be resolved after 3 months. Meaning there simply is no comparing. It's not comparable, the cases of the get to that of the chalitza. For chalitza, her allowance is going to be 3 months after the actual death of her husband. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So when a woman becomes a widow in a Yibum context, so you have to wait 3 months to either do Yibum or Chalitza. And again, we explain both of them in the course of yesterday's daf and today's daf. So the reason behind Yibum is because we need to know who the father is, meaning because we need to know whether there's a mitzvah of Yibum or there's no mitzvah of Yibum. If she was impregnated by her first husband, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. If she ends up becoming impregnated by her second husband, that means there was a mitzvah of Yibum. So we need to know who the father is because it's a difference between violating a rais or not violating a rais. Good. And chalitza is off the table for those first 3 months because, again, let's go with the preferred pshat of the Gemara. There has to be an eligibility of Yibum in order for there to be an eligibility of chalitza. Good. So we establish that. Okay, now we're moving on to every other woman. Every other woman who terminates a marriage, her husband died, she became divorced, so she needs to wait 3 months. Why? Now we all know the answer to the question already. The answer is to establish paternity. But, okay, but even as we say that, I know it's going to be a funny question. What's the big deal if we don't know who the father is? Okay, fine. So good. So, and they're going to be clear answers to that question, but we're asking and we're going to answer the question. What's the big deal if we don't know who the father is? So, Bishlama Yavama Kedamar. So as far as Yavama is concerned, so that's an Arayas issue. And we already explained it. But Ela Sharkal Anashim Amai. But why is it so required and necessary for when a woman terminating one marriage that she needs to wait 3 months before marrying another person in order to establish paternity? What's that all about? So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Mishum Damar Kral Yosachal Elokim Lazarecha Acharecha Lahavkin Bin Zarecha Rishon Lazarecha Sheni. So the Gemara's first answer is that, do you know what Havchana creates? You know when you know who your father is. So you know what that creates? It creates Ashras HaShchina. Rashi over here writes, it's a powerful Rashi. Ula Zarecha Acharecham She'in HaShchina Shora Ela Al Havadayim Shezarem Yuchas Acharav. So when you have established paternity of who your father is, so you will have Ashras HaShchina. Now, can I explain that any better? Not sure. But certainly there's an idea of that there is more Kedusha, more, I'll just leave it at that. It's the best I can do. If there's more Kedusha in a child who, we know for sure is Jewish, by the way, the Jewishness of the child is not even open for consideration. Her previous husband was Jewish, her current husband is Jewish. But she didn't wait the requisite time. We don't know who the father is.
But she's Jewish. Good.
And she's Jewish. In other words, so the issue of the child's Jewishness is not even open for discussion. But when establishing who the father is, when we know who the father is, so there's more Hashras HaShchina. Good. That's number one. So Mesav Rava, Lefichach Gevig Yarot Tzrichon La'antem Gimel Chadashim. Hi, my Lahav Chinika. So the Gemara says, let's say you have converts who are converting to become Jews, meaning a couple converting, meaning they were both Goyim, he and she, and they're both converting. So now, what's the halacha? The halacha is that they have to wait 3 months before resuming relations in order to make sure to know that the child is going to be coming from a Zera Yehudi. So the Gemara says, why do you have to wait over there? There's no establishing of paternity. So the Gemara says, Achina Mikalavchim in Zerush and Izra B'Kedusha, Lezerushal and Izra B'Kedusha. So the Gemara says, I understand there's no issue of paternity over there, but there's still an issue of Kedusha, meaning that to know whether or not he inseminated her in a state of Kedusha, so that also involves an extra level of Hashras HaShchina. Okay, so. So right now, the first approach of the Gemara, why the requirement to wait 3 months? So to establish paternity, what's the big deal? So the big deal is that when you know who your father is, so you're going to have extra hashras hashchina. That's one. Number two, Rava Amar Gzera Shema, Yisas Achos HaMayavet. Look, let's say you don't know who your father is. And let's go to our classic scenario of she waited 2 months, she had a baby 7 months later. Okay, and again, this is not Yibum. This is just talking about a regular woman who just ended one marriage and goes right into the next one and doesn't wait the requisite 3 months. She waited 2 months. She had a baby 7 months later. Now, under those circumstances, so what's going to come out from there? A lot of confusion, but that confusion is going to result in a lot of serious consequences. The Gemara over here is going to pick up on four different consequences as a result of that confusion. Number one, Yisas Achos HaMayaviv. So again, so what is this child going to think? He thinks that this is my father. And every time I say the word this, I'm talking about the second husband, right? So this is my father, not knowing that he was a 9-month gestated baby, right? In other words, they elected not to tell him. So not knowing that he was a 9-month gestated baby and he really belonged to the first husband. And so he now erroneously thinks that this is his father. So number one, Yisas Achos HaMayaviv. So what's going to happen now is that he's going to end up marrying Achos HaMayaviv. Rashi writes over here, where am I? Rashi, Yisa Achos HaMayaviv, right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Just actually a couple lines up. Im nises toch shosha v'yaldav hu ben tesla rishon v'nola beveis shosha sheni v'sav rishu benov yisa es bas ba'ala harishon sheishlo me'isha acheres v'achos HaMayaviv. So not thinking that the first man was her husband, not thinking that the first man was his father, he's going to end up marrying a sister. Okay, that's number one. Number two, v'yabeim eishes achiv mi'imo. And then in addition to that, again, same underlying issue. He does not realize or recognize that the father who he thinks is his father is not his father, but rather, in fact, it's the late husband who was his father. He was, in fact, a 9-month gestated baby, but he thinks, in other words, he was told, he thinks that he's a 7-month gestated baby. He thinks he belongs to the second father. And now, Yibim Eishes Achiv Me'imo. So what he's going to do is he's going to do Yibim, thinking now that there is a Yibim opportunity. Meanwhile, there is no Yibim opportunity because he and his, what he believes his paternal brother, is not really his paternal brother. That's number two. Number three, Yotze Yisim Alashuk. In addition to that, so let's say right now, he is the child of this woman, again, fully believing now that he is the child of this particular woman. And so what happens is that this man dies. The brother now is thinking to himself, we'll do the mitzvah of Yibum. They have a child. No need to do the mitzvah of Yibum. And meanwhile, it's not his brother's child. And so therefore, what's going to end up happening is that the widow is going to be erroneously allowed to marry somebody else thinking, oh, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. And meanwhile, there is a mitzvah of Yibum. And finally, the yiftor is yevimto l'shuk, and he'll also excuse his yivama to go to the shuk. Again, in a case now where he has a sister-in-law, and now because he believes that he belongs to the second husband, not the first husband, so now they'll think there's no mitzvah of Yibam, and it'll allow a sister-in-law to be a Vama who's going to be allowed to marry outside, when meanwhile, she's not allowed to marry outside. In other words, when all said and done, because of the belief that he belongs to the second husband, not the first husband, so it's going to lead to a number of confusing points where Yibam is required, but because of the erroneous position where he belongs to the second father, he really doesn't. So therefore, a lot of these arayas are going to be violated. In other words, if in fact now they violate arayas, so then the child is going to be a mamzer or suffix mamzer. Either way, okay, good. So according to Rava, basically what comes out over here is that the issue of paternity is going to result in a lot of questions of arayas. So So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a braisa to contend with. And the braisa teaches me that when it comes to the 3 month requirement, waiting requirement for a yibum yavama, so that's because of arayas, as we already articulated. When it comes to stam, a woman leaving one marriage and going into another marriage, so there it's takanas vlad. That is in order to help the vlad. Now, what did that mean? Im isa kulam shum takanas erva. Now, I'm sorry. Before I go on. So according to Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, where the issue now is hashra shechina and more kedusha in the child when he knows who his father is. Perfect. The braisa makes all the sense in the world. Meaning the establishment of paternity really does help the child because the child will be invested with more kedusha if he knows who his father is. That we can call takanas avlad. But according to Rava, Rava says that the entire issue of making sure that we can establish paternity is so that you don't violate arayas. So the Gemara says, okay, so really, when all said and done, everything is because of takanas erva. The Gemara's question. V'imi sekula mishum takanas erva. So the Gemara says, "Haimishum takanas vlad lo lifka behu erva." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so we'll just simply say a pshat in the brisa. The pshat in the brisa is takanas vlad de lo lifka behu erva, meaning that as a result of the fact that the child is confused as to who his father is, so we want to avoid that because once the child is confused in terms of who his father is, that will lead to cases of arias, as we just articulated previously." Okay, we're about to move on. Okay, so the establishment of paternity is important. How important is it? Okay, it's really important for one of two reasons, says the Gemara, either because of Hashra Shechina or because a confusion of who the father is will result in a lot of possible arayas violations. Therefore, you have to wait. How long do you have to wait? So we all know the answer, 3 months. The Gemara, in its classic style, wants to know, why does it have to be 3 months? Can't it be a little bit less than 3 months? And the Gemara is going to be making a lot of assumptions in terms of gestation periods and in terms of which gestations are viable, not viable. Okay, if you've been here before, all this is going to sound familiar. If this is your first time hearing this, some of it's going to sound a little bit strange because it's clearly not the assumptions that we work with nowadays. But obviously, there must have been empirical evidence back in the good old days that the information they're working with is correct information. Bishlama tamtim beis chadashim v'tina se'lo dainu sveika ibar b'tisha l'kama ibar shiv l'basra. So the Gemara says waiting 2 months is clearly off the table because again what could happen is that a baby will come 7 months later and there really are two viable options, either 7 months to the second or 9 months to the first. But ela tamtim chodesh echa v'tina se'. So the Gemara says, well, why not wait 1 month? Now, if you wait a month, ishiva yalda, because if it was a 7 month baby, could very well be that it belongs to the second husband. Who? Now, if the baby was 8 months gestated, so the Gemara says it must be that it belongs to the first husband. Because 8 months is simply not a viable baby. The Gemara throughout Shas always assumes that an 8 month gestation is just simply, is simply not viable. The baby would not have come out as a viable living entity if in fact it was only an 8 month gestation, and so therefore if it comes out 8 months later, so you know what happened, so before the late husband died, he impregnated her a month before he died, and so therefore seemingly a 1 month waiting period is all you need in order to establish paternity. So the Gemara says no, it's not right. So inam letana yala de ikal memar de basra hu dema ishtu echodesh echavi abar. So the Gemara says no, because as I'm sure you already figured out, if let's say they waited just 1 month and she delivered a baby 8 months later, it could easily belong to the second husband. And what happened was is that he just simply didn't impregnate her until a month into the marriage. Okay, so obviously this is not a foolproof plan of establishing paternity. V'tamtim sheikh adashim umechsa v'tinase. So the Gemara says, okay, but why don't we wait 2.5 months? Okay, again, the Gemara is trying to figure out why 3 months is so critical. Wait 2.5 months. Because if she had the baby 7 months later, so good. So we know who the father is. And v'ila shisa upaga yalda. So the Gemara says, and if it was 6.5 months, hi bar tishla kamahu. In other words, 6.5 months after the waiting period, so it belongs to the first husband. In other words, 6.5 and 2.5, so that gets us to 9. Di bar basrahu bar shitsa pagalo chayay. So the Gemara says, because what are you going to suggest? 6.5 months is viable for the second husband? Right now, the Gemara is assuming 6.5 months is not viable for the second husband. The Gemara says, well, that's, again, a wrong assumption. So the Gemara says, just wrong on the assumption, meaning that a baby that comes out, quote unquote, 7 months, doesn't have to be 7 full months, meaning 7 months could be even in the 6 month. It's possible for an abbreviated gestation to be the baby coming out viable even into the 6 month. So it's certainly possible for a viable baby to be produced 6.5 months after the marriage of the second husband. So once again, 2.5 months is just simply going to not give us good information in terms of who the father is. So the Gemara says, well, okay, well, you know the old-fashioned pregnancy test. So it happens to be that we don't know the old-fashioned pregnancy test. So get ready. So there are old-fashioned pregnancy tests. Now, back in the day, there was a pregnancy test that was done at the three-month mark, meaning if she was not showing, there were still ways to identify whether she was pregnant or not. So the Gemara says, so why don't we do the following? In other words, let's say she was widowed, divorced, whatever the case is. Again, for widow, it's a little bit more complicated because there's a velus. But, okay, whatever the case is, she just concluded one marriage, and now she would like to marry again. Let her wait a little bit. Now, I know the Gemara says mashu over here. Tosa says it doesn't really mean mashu. It means whatever, 3 days, whatever. Wait a little bit of time, and here's what you'll do. At the three-month mark, what you'll do is you'll do a pregnancy test. So now, the Gemara over here gives us precious little information regarding what the pregnancy test was. You can see Rashi over here. Rashi talks about how she is certain sensitive in certain areas of her body at the three-month mark. Okay, no need for me to elaborate as I don't know enough about this, but in other words, it's suffice to say the Gemara's assumption is that there is a pregnancy test that can be done at the three-month mark. So Amrav Safrein, Bokin, Asenesuos, Shalizkanu, Al Ba'alayim. So the Gemara says no, because what it's going to do is that it's going to really be, it's going to make her unattractive to her current husband. Meaning we are going to be doing a pregnancy test to make sure that she wasn't pregnant by her first husband. So the second husband, her new husband, is just simply going to, it's going to not sit well with him. It's going to create shalom bias issues. And the Gemara says, and we'd rather not. In other words, what we'd rather is them just simply wait the requisite three-month period rather than not wait and then have to do these invasive types of testing. So the Gemara says, v'nivdaka behilucha. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? There's another kind of pregnancy test which is non-invasive, and so why don't we do that? And this pregnancy test is going to be a walking pregnancy test. Okay, and that means to say that at 3 months, even if she's not showing, but her walk is going to indicate whether or not she is she's pregnant or not. Rashi says, look, I don't know. But Rashi says, but I do have a Masorah from the Gaonim. And the Gaonim say that at 3 months, even if she's not showing, but she's still going to carry more weight. And so you'll have her walk and you'll look at the footprints that she makes, and that will give away whether or not she's pregnant or not. Again, have not seen any of it, right? No experience with this, but the Gemara is assuming that there are these kinds of tests. So the Gemara says, "Amar Amim Barchama Isha Mechapeatma Kedishirish Bana Benechse Baala." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but a woman can hide such a result. Meaning, you don't always get good results from tests. Okay, what's it called? We don't have to go that far to know how sometimes testing does not result in good results." Okay, so the Gemara says, and in fact, just the opposite. In other words, she will be motivated to cover up this kind of pregnancy test because she would like now not her late husband to be regarded as the father, but her current husband to be regarded as the father, because obviously it's going to be it'll allow this child to inherit from her new husband. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Now, what we're suggesting over here is that if we know that she's pregnant, she should marry. So Alamatanya, the Gemara says, consider the Braisa. We saw the Braisa just a week ago in the Daf. Yachzer Olamis. So the so when a woman is pregnant, you are not allowed to marry her. So and in fact, if you do, Yotzi v'lo Yachzer Olamis, so then you have to divorce her, and you may not marry her again as a kenas for marrying a pregnant woman. So Gzeru Shematasi Ubra Sandal. So the Gemara says, and the concern is that as a concern that what you're going to do is that you're going to damage and injure the developing fetus inside of her. Okay, the Gemara's assumption over here is that a pregnant woman can become impregnated again, affecting and injuring the baby that she's currently developing inside of her. I understand the modern world doesn't see that. It doesn't see this phenomena. Okay, certainly we all recognize that. But ihachi didenami. So the Gemara says, well, if that's an issue, so I don't understand. So every time a woman's pregnant, so what are we going to do? We're going to ban the husband from being with her. So the Gemara says, hilamandamar bamoch bamoch hilamandamar minashamay mirachmu minashamay mirachmu. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, with one's own wife, you can either use contraception or you can have extra emuna. Okay, so. So Gemara says, "Hachanami laman damer b'moch b'moch laman damer minashamay mirachmu minashamay mirachmu." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but if let's say it's a woman who was impregnated by another man and you picked her up, so the Gemara says, so why don't we say one of the same two things? Either you'll use contraception or you'll just have extra muna." So the Gemara says, "Ela mishum dechasa." So the Gemara says, "Oh, well, no. The difference is that if in fact." It's your baby. In other words, it's your wife and it's your baby. So you have more rechmanas. Yachi didei nami. So the Gemara says, well, in other words, what's the difference between someone else's baby and your baby? So didei chayis ilavei hachanami chayis ilavei. So the Gemara says, aren't you going to have rechmanas in both circumstances, whether the baby belonged to you, whether it belonged to a previous husband? Elastamu beraslaminika kaima. So the Gemara says, well, what's going to happen is that pregnancy obviously leads to birth and nursing. So Dilma Yabra ume acher chaba v'katlele. So the Gemara says what's going to happen is that if she is pregnant and ultimately going to be nursing, so what's going to happen is that you're going to impregnate her. That's going to cut the lactation. She's no longer going to be able to nurse her baby. So the Gemara says, fine. Yachi didei nami. Why isn't this a concern with one's own wife? Meaning, is there a ban? Is there any kind of prohibition for a husband being with his own wife immediately after she gave birth? Again, there is a waiting period immediately after she gave birth, but you don't have to wait until nursing is over to resume intimacy, husband and wife. Why not? In other words, shouldn't be worried about her cutting off her milk supply. So the Gemara says, "Dide misam masma le bebeitzim v'chalav dida." So the Gemara says, well, if it's their own baby, so what they'll do is they'll supplement. Meaning, if let's say she's no longer able to produce milk, so they'll supplement the diet of the child. So the Gemara says, "Dida nami mimas masalei bebeitzim v'chalav." So the Gemara says, so even if the child does not belong to this husband, if it belonged to a previous husband, and again, she married this man and he impregnated her, so cutting off her milk supply, so then aren't they just simply going to be able to support the baby with a supplemental diet? So the Gemara says, "Lo yav la baal." So the Gemara says, well, the husband's not going to be supporting this baby as the baby didn't belong to him. So the Gemara says, "Velit vein la yorshim." So the Gemara says, okay, so why not demand support from the yorshim? Amar Rabbi, isha busha lavo labeisin, v'regas es bana. Well, if you're going to go after the yorshim, if you're going to go after the late husband in order to get support for this baby, so that means that we're going to have to go to Beis Din, and women, generally speaking, are not inclined to have to go to Beis Din. It's a very public, it's litigious, obviously, by nature. And so, Rachmanis, the child really is at the threat of dying, at the risk of dying, if in fact she goes ahead and she marries another man. When all said and done. So the Gemara says that when it comes to a woman coming off a previous marriage already pregnant, so at that point in time, for her to remarry, she has to wait. She has to wait for the conclusion of her pregnancy. She has to wait also for the conclusion of the conclusion of pregnancy and the conclusion of the nursing period. And again, as the Gemara just pointed out, the concern would be is that if, let's say, relations with the next husband is going to A, be injurious to the developing fetus inside, and B, if let's say she already had the baby, pregnancy would result in her no longer producing milk. And being that this baby, it does not belong to this husband, it belongs to the previous husband, this husband's not going to have rachmanos. And for her to go to court and demand support from the previous family, so that's going to require going to Beis Din. She's not inclined to do so. Okay, let's go on a little bit further. Achas basulas v'achas baulos. Okay. Haini basulas v'haini arusos, haini baulos v'haini nesuos. The Mishnah's language in terms of who needs to wait. Remember the Tanakhama's viewpoint? There needs to be a 3-month waiting period, period. Period. Meaning, we're not going to make any kind of consideration of, oh, she just came off of Erisin from the previous husband, meaning they weren't intimate. Okay, you don't have to wait 3 months. In other words, we do know such calculation. Every woman coming off of one marriage needs to wait 3 months before going into the next marriage. The language of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, you know, she's a basula, whether she's an arusa, whether she's a bula, whether she's a nesua, that's repetitive language. Am Rav Yehuda Achi Kamar Achas Basulas V'Achas Bulos Shinis Armelo O Shinis Garshu Bein Mina Erisin Bein Mina Us Bein Mina Nesuin. So as Rashi points out over here, it's Perusha Kama Farish. You're right. The language is repetitive. We're just giving clear examples of whether she's coming off of Erisin, i.e., she's a Basula, whether she's coming off of Nesuin, i.e., she was a Baula. That's all the Mishnah meant. Rebbe Lazar, lo ala bei Midrasha. Rebbe Lazar missed going to the Beis Medrash one day. And Ashkechele Rabbi Asi, Amalei, my Amar Rabbanu bei Midrasha. And so what he wants is, he wants to catch up. So he goes over to Rabbi Asi, says, no, what was being discussed in the Beis Medrash? Amalei, hachi Amar Rav Yochanan, halachi ke Rav Yossi. So the halacha is like Rav Yossi. Remember? Okay, go back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah going all the way back to Mem Alpha Mid Beis. Sorry. Bottom of Mem Alpha Mid Aleph. So after bringing in the sheet of the Tanakhama, then the Mishnah brought in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda says, Nesuos yisarsu, v'arusus yinasu. Okay. And Rabbi Yossi says, kol hanashim yisarsu. Every single woman, regardless of what kind of marriage she just exited, whether it was Erisin, whether it was Nesuin, doesn't matter. So immediately can go right to Erisin. That sheet is Rabbi Yossi. Because again, Erisin does not involve intimacy. There's not going to be any paternity issue. Immediately can go to Erisin. And then as far as Nisuin is concerned, obviously Nisuin will be postponed and delayed until they could do Nisuin. Right? Three months after the conclusion of the previous marriage. Good. But every woman can immediately go to Erisin, notable exception to the widow, which I know is a lot, meaning that describes a lot of women who just ended their previous marriage. But in other words, there's an Avelis issue. But take Avelis off the table, a woman can go immediately to Erisin. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. So in the Mishnah, we really have three opinions. The Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan was quoted in the Beis Medrash. Remember, Rabbi Elazar missed a day in the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Elazar was quoted as saying, Rabbi Elazar wanted to catch up. So he asked Rav Asi, knew, what did he say? And he said, you know what he said? He said the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, now, in order for the halacha to follow Rabbi Yossi, so what do we know? Right? The Gemara in Erevin taught us this, and that is that Rabbi Yossi basically trumps everybody. But that's if it's a one-on-one. So in the ring, sorry for the bad boxing reference. So in the ring, if I have Rabbi Yossi and he's pitted against any other Tana, so one-on-one, Rabbi Yossi is going to win. Okay, but, meaning the halacha falls like Rabbi Yossi. But if Rabbi Yossi is a Shitas Yachid, and pit up against him is the majority viewpoint. So then we're going to follow the majority over that of Rav Yossi. So here's the dilemma. I have a Mishnah. In the Mishnah, I have three opinions. I have an anonymous Tanakhama. I then have Rabbi Yehuda and then I have Rabbi Yossi. So is that anonymous Tanakhama? Is that a reflection of a majority viewpoint? Or is the anonymous Tanakhama the opinion of one Tana? Now, generally speaking, we assume that if you have an anonymous Tanakhama, it's you, generally speaking, Rabbim. That's what we normally assume. But over here, we have to rethink it, because over here, Rav Asi quoted Rav Yochanan as saying that, you know, the halacha falls like Rav Yossi. Oh. So now that forces us to go back to our Mishnah, and it forces us to say that the Tanakhama is not the viewpoint of the majority, it's a viewpoint of a Tana. Is that right? Well, that's what the Gemara is going to teach us. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yossi, Mechal Dichi Dapalegalah In." So the Gemara says, yep, that's right. That Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, meaning we're going to support this. So Hare Shai, so Redufa Leilech Lebeis Avi Oshai Elo Kasbe Veis Baala. So, Rachmanus. The marriage is really strife, and it's there's no shalom bias. And she constantly runs to her parents' home. Or, alternatively, there is arguing heard all the time in the house. There is no shalom bias. So, Osha Yabala Chavush Beves Asurim. Or let's say the husband was in jail. Osha Yabala Zakein Ochola. Or the husband was just simply too old, too sick, to be with his wife. Osha Isa Hi Chola. Oshi Hipila Achar Mises Bala. Or she was sick, or she just miscarried immediately after his death. Meaning, in any one of these cases where we know that she's not pregnant, any one of these cases, Osha Isa Al Kara, Zakeno, O Katana, or Islandis, right? I went too quickly to wrap it up. Other cases as well. She is either Akara. She simply lacks the equipment. The Rashi over here describes a hysterectomy. Anyway, Zakena, O Katana, or she's too old, or she's too young, or Ilonis. In other words, she's just simply not born. Let's just say hormonally balanced. Okay, that may be imprecise, but that it covers it basically. Osheina Rui Leilein, Tzricha Lahamtin Gemachadash and Divra Meir. So our mayor says, I'm not interested in what the circumstances are. Meaning there is a Gzeira de Rabbanan that a woman has to wait 3 months. I understand it's for the purposes of establishing paternity, but I don't care whether or not she is pregnant. She is incapable of being pregnant. Circumstantially, she's not pregnant. It doesn't matter. In other words, Rameir is of the position that she need to wait 3 months. Oh, so we could pause right here at this point. Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay, but we could pause right here. We're not going to pause right here, but we could pause right here. Meaning the point of the Gemara has been made. Meaning, what did we just see together? This is exactly the opinion of the Tanakam of our Mishnah. What do we gain with this Braisa? So we see in this Braisa, it is the Shita Rameir, meaning it's a Das Yachid. Now we can go back to Rav Yochanan, and now we can say, oh, I get it. Meaning Rav Yochanan says, Halach is like Rav Yossi. Yeah, because now it's Rav Yossi arguing with Rav Yehuda and the Tanakam, which we now know is Rabbi Meir. And then let's finish up the Braisa. Now in our Gersa, we have the word Rav Yehuda. The Gaon says, probably better to be said Rabbi Yossi, because it conforms with what we know from our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, Matir Le'arus V'Linasa Miyad. So, and Rabbi Yossi allows for Erison. So for Erison immediately. So, fine. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Chazar Bo Rabbi Yochanan. So what do we have right now? So we have three opinions. We have Rabbi Lazar who missed year and was trying to catch up, and somebody said Rav Yochanan said the halacha is like Rav Yossi, which means that any woman who just concluded a marriage can launch immediately into Erison. But that's it, just Erison. And again, the reason why is because Erison is not going to involve a new pregnancy. It's only going to be Nisuin that's going to involve a new pregnancy. Fine, the Nisuin will be put on hold, but the Erison can be done immediately. Okay, the Gemara now says that Rav Yochanan is quoted saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Now, the Gemara says, but counterpoint. So, Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Chazar Bar Rabbi Yochanan. So, he recanted. He changed his viewpoint. Amar Rabbi Yosef I Hadar Bey Mimasisin De Kramar Hadar Bey. I know why he recanted, because of a Braisa of Karma, the vineyard Braisa. Meaning, we'll see clearly what that's a reference to. The Tanya will enter the Braisa. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. Shamati Mipi HaChachamim. I heard from the Chachamim. Bekerem Biyavne. In Kerem Biyavne. Kerem Biyavne should sound familiar, right? Right in the, we have a yeshiva to this very day situated in Yavne. In fact, they named themselves Kerem Biyavne. Started by Rav Goldwicht, 60 years ago? Okay, thereabouts. So anyway, but meanwhile, the original yeshiva Kerem Biyavne, so that was started by Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Right, the after Chorm Beis Hamikdash, so the yeshiva, the central yeshiva of Chachmei Yisrael, was put into Yavne, and it was called Kerem Biyavne because of the rows of Talmidim that were there. It looked like rows in the vineyard. Anyway, so Kulan Tzrichon LaHamtin Shlosha Chadashim. So everybody needs to wait 3 months. That's the brisa that was taught by regarding Kerem Biyavne. So okay, period. So we'll pause over here. The Gemara is going to pick it up tomorrow. More discussion on who the halacha falls like. Let's recap. Let's review our daf today. Okay, number one. What we covered over here was the end of yesterday's daf, the tail end of yesterday's daf, regarding a woman requiring to wait, a Yavama requiring to wait 3 months. The Yavama is required to wait 3 months. So why? In other words, I understand Yibam, I get it, but why not Chalitza? Answer of the Gemara is that you have to be eligible for Yibam in order to be eligible for Chalitza. If you're not eligible for Yibam, you're not eligible for Chalitza. We know other cases where Chalitza is done and Yibam is not done. That's because of Suffolk. But that's not, that, in other words, from a fundamental standpoint, in order for there to be Chalitza, there has to be an eligibility of Yibam. Okay. Support for the Yavama comes from, so the support for the Yavama comes from the from her late husband's estate, but that's only for 3 months. Afterwards, transfer of support is going to go to the Yavam. Okay, if in fact the Yavam elects to do Chalitza, I'm not sure if I made this clear earlier. So if he elects to do Chalitza, obviously that will provide for her an entitlement of Ksuva. But in other words, but in the absence of doing Chalitza, so either A, he could do Yibum, which means obviously that he's now married to her, he's going to support her, or what if he opts to do neither Yibum or Chalitza? So at that point in time, Basin's going to intervene. Basin's basically going to take him and say to him, look, 3 months, now you're now required to do something. And if not, so then Basin's going to dip into his assets and support her from his assets. And then, unfortunately, the Gemara deals with a really unfortunate scenario where, let's say a husband died, but the Yavam is just simply too young. And now, 3 months of her late estate comes to an end, but her Yavam is just simply not old enough to support her. And the Gemara addresses this, but the Gemara says, unfortunately, Mishamayim Kansua. Okay. The amount of time, waiting time for 3 months, is post the death of her husband, as opposed to get, where get is not exactly work on that kind of timetable. When it comes to get, the 3 months is going to be recorded according to Rav from the time of Nesina, even though they were not together already, going back to the time of the Ksivas again, as we explained earlier. So the Gemara says, okay, that's true, but you can't compare the get to that of Yibum. Yibam and Chalitza, 3 months is going back to the death. Okay, good. All other women who are ending one marriage and entering into another marriage for whatever reason, death, divorce, whatever the case is, so there's a 3 month waiting period. So by Yibam, there has to be a 3 month waiting period because Arias is at stake over here. But when it comes to all other unions, all other marriages, so why is there a 3 month waiting period? To establish paternity. Why is it so important to establish paternity? The Gemara has two approaches to this. One is because Hashras HaShechina. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is only going to be Shara on those who have Yichus, on those who know who their father is. That's approach number one. Approach number two of the Gemara is that in the event that this child does not know who his father is, it will lead to a lot of disastrous conclusions. The Gemara pointed to four different scenarios in which he firmly believes that he is a child of the second father, not knowing that he was a child of the first father, and as a result of that, Yibam will be done erroneously and leading to Arias consequences. Okay, the 3 month waiting period, the Gemara on Membeis Amud Aleph challenged, why does it have to be 3 months? Can't it be anything less than 3 months? And the answer is no. to make a long Gemara a lot shorter, the answer is no. In other words, right, trying to maybe do some sort of pregnancy test, making certain assumptions regarding gestations, which are viable, not viable. Anyway, when all said and done, there's no room for negotiation. It must be a 3 month waiting period. Another husband, once she's pregnant with a baby, another husband cannot go in and marry her for reasons that there will simply not be enough sympathy for a baby of a previous husband. And the Gemara describes the unfortunate scenario in which, if in fact she is either she's carrying or nursing a baby from a previous husband, so her current husband just simply not going to have the requisite rachmanas. And finally, the last thing that we covered this morning is that when ending a marriage and going into the next marriage, so there's a 3 month waiting requirement. But in terms of the specifics, when could she start the next relationship? So there are three opinions in the Mishnah. The first opinion, which we come to learn, is the Shita Rav Meir, is that you have to wait 3 months. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care that you know for sure she was not impregnated by the previous husband. Whatever the circumstances are, you must wait 3 months, period. Then there's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says is that if the previous marriage ended just with Erisin, then you can go to then you could start the next marriage immediately. If the previous marriage ended in Nisuin, so then the next marriage can start Erisin immediately. And then finally the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't care how the previous marriage ended, you can always start off Erisin immediately. And then Nisuin, you'll wait till a later period in time. Who does the halacha follow like? That's what we're in the middle of discussing. The Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan as saying, the halacha follows like Rav Yossi, and the Gemara is now going to go back and forth on that very point.